getting a job, starting a family, having less time. Even just like amongst like the Christian community, it's like trying to figure out how to actually do that and how to prioritize that when you're like dealing with these other life changes.
Growing up, anybody have parents who did not have friends? Yeah.
It was interesting because just the nature of my dad's work. She got plugged in just because my dad was working a lot on like on Sundays and whatnot. He was never able to get as plugged into like community group or like life group type thing. It is interesting. I mean, looking back on it, like I can see how that impacted for sure. I mean, then differently. That was a long answer to your question of one day, one kind of thing.
Yeah, I think one interesting thing is to think through all of this in terms of like how you were, like what's your, how you were raised, what's your like native assumptions about community. I grew up, my parents didn't have friends. I had friends at school, but we were grouped up based on like the cool people, the not cool people, the people who were into sports, people who were not in sports, et cetera. So your friends were like the people you're in band with or the people you're in chorus with or whatever. So like thinking through kind of my upbringing to have modeled for me, like I didn't really see what seemed like a really meaningful, deep community across. I don't know if that's true for everybody. I do think like we have a lot of these assumptions about what community is meant for that we bring to the table when we come to community group.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's becoming even more like isolated, especially just as things like people moving and people transplanting like all over the place now. It's like, I like joke, it's like, there's like so many people in my like little sub-denominator like I've never seen. Like, people just like come home, go in the house, they don't come out till the next day, or they go to work, or like, you know, it's like I don't think, like unless somebody like has a kid or walks their dog, it's like you will like never, unless you like go straight to them, like you'll never, you almost never meet. Like there's so many people like just around you. Like, who lives here? I have no idea. I've never seen that human.
I think it's helpful to talk about this, one, because as community group leaders, you bring those assumptions to your groups, but then also your people do too. And so as you're trying to cultivate a meaningful group life, and as we're trying to do things that are actually significant and not just, oh, we're all having fun together, though that's great, not to discount that. As we're trying to do all that stuff, like, we're just going to run into that. Like, that's kind of just what happens because, culturally speaking, like I was talking about earlier, we in the West, particularly, like, middle-class, affluent, white culture, we treat community as either a collection of people who are interested in all the things that we're interested in, such that figuring out how to get to know each other, what do we talk about, all that stuff is just convenient for us, right? We don't necessarily get in community with people who are into everything we aren't and it's hard to find common ground, or people who are who feel like our social inferiors, right, who are in a different economic class, or they come across to us as socially awkward, or they're from a different culture, and so it's hard for us to speak what feels like the same language, all of that stuff. We kind of bring those like biases into group, and yet like when we look at the sort of community, like I was thinking about, and I'm convicted by when I'm reading Romans 12, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. When somebody comes to my group who is like super socially awkward, where they dominate conversation, or I'm just like not, I'm like, you don't fit. I'm not super excited that you're here. The scriptures would call me to outdo that person in showing honor, not to the whole time wish I just really hope you don't come back next week. Right? Like, so we're kind of all dealing with that, and our people are dealing with that. So I think it's just helpful for us to keep some of that in mind.
Where does that out do? So many, because I had this discussion that you just said there with my girlfriend earlier today.
Yeah.
On just different dynamics with community groups. And
that, yeah, sure. That yeah, that was verse 10. Yeah, Romans 12, 10. All right. So I've got some conclusions there. I'm not going to read you all these because we're running out of time because I keep talking too much. And these I think are really helpful. It's a lot of what we've already talked about, right? The gospel radically changes our corporate life. God is super interested in how we treat each other. I think it's really interesting. We read this big long list about how like we deal with one another. Wes, you were talking about how to treat people. God, the God of the universe, is interested highly in whether or not you are kind to people. Okay? That we should realize, one, that's not him being petty. That's because being kind to one another is actually really significant. Okay? And it's a significant outcome of the gospel. There are a bunch of other stuff there, mutual service, true authenticity. You should read it after this, but we have rhythms to talk about. All right. Let's just talk about, so Rhythms was the chapter that you had in Brad House's, or so that's out of Brad House's book, Community, which is a great resource. He wrote that several years ago. He was part of Mars Hill at the time. It was basically how they did community groups, but there are a couple chapters in there that I think are really helpful, and Rhythms is one of them. So after you read Rhythms, what stood out to you?
I need to be more like the young life guys.
Because I feel like there was, you know, a long period of time where Andrew and I were like, well, I worked till 8 o'clock and he's on shift, and like we used every, it's like, oh, we don't literally have the time, like, and now I'm like, oh man, and I can think of like pockets of community in my life where I'm like, man, I wish everybody could experience this, like, I love my little neighborhood of, you know, people, or anyways, and so reading that, I was like, that's really convicting, because if it's important, like, if it's life-giving, then yeah, I want to be there, first of all, and I want other people to be involved. So.
Mm-hmm.
I also just really like the idea of, like, not necessarily making it, like, an event, but, like, giving people in the group multiple opportunities a week even to, like,
mm-hmm.
do life, so.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hard with, you know, little kids, but that's probably where we will gravitate towards finding communities, other families with little kids.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of in the same boat.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the obvious things that was written there that I just don't think about was talking about how to the extent you can't force rhythms, meaning like building structure into like where it makes sense. And I think like maybe I've been farming community in the past where it's like, hey, we're gonna all meet at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray, and it's like, yeah, I wanna do that, but like my rhythm is not, you know, to be up at 5 or whatever time it is. So I think I've been burnt by that, and maybe it's even like burned me out or giving me a sour taste to things in the past. I think I haven't thought of that, you know, maybe as a lead, and that's, I think as a leader, it's really good to keep that, you know, front of mind. What is the patterns of the people in my group in the game before you plan something or like add something in, understanding I'm being a good reverse elimination of hurry right now, that book, and it's like, I don't know, I just think that's probably maybe common sense to other people. I hadn't thought about the view of that. But sometimes adding something that's good in a place that doesn't fit can be really bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As you're reading it, any questions or any pushback that came up?
Yeah, I was trying to like kind of figure out where the balance between kind of like doing things the way like some of the things that like Vintage is like prioritizing in the way to like do the groups, and like with other ways to like be kind of creative. And
mm-hmm.
as I was thinking about it, because I read the pre-work like just earlier today. So, but as I was like thinking through it like, a little bit more, I was thinking like, okay, well, maybe some of the creativity needs to be like applied more like outside of like where we're like whatever meeting or event we're going to be like doing like Bible study with, perhaps,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that can be prioritized where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of always be a balance, you know. And yeah, it's just easy to go one way or the other of being like so focused on like running a good Bible study and
mm-hmm.
like really deep and covering the information, and also like being very like welcoming and having fun and like people being able to like connect over whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you are right in saying, like, it's a lot of, you know, you're always kind of figuring out, it's a lot of give and take. And it's a lot of, like, when was this? Maybe 6 weeks ago, we had group, and two couples couldn't be there, and so it ended up being me, Annika, and another couple and one guy. And gosh, what was going on? Things were running late. It was something like things weren't going great, and we had been talking about, like, somebody brought up a Disney movie. We didn't end up watching it. We ended up watching something else. We're like, why don't we just watch a movie tonight? That's okay. You know, I feel a ton of pressure, especially like here I am telling y'all, hey, you know, once a month or once every 6 weeks, do something fun. But my bent is like, no, we should be in the scriptures, people. But man, it was so life-giving, you know, and part of that's like, we've been doing group every week for a long time, and like, it would be fun for us to just enjoy each other tonight. And it's kind of like, I mean, you do this with your kids sometimes, right? When it's like, okay, yeah, we don't have to do what we had planned for today, or we're just going to have pizza. It's been a crazy day. We can have fun together, you know? So I do think some of it, as much as we're trying to figure out rhythms to put in place such that we might try something, give it a shot, and it doesn't work out, anything like that, but it's also a little bit of an ebb and flow over time, to where if we overcommit and we find, gosh, we're just trying to do too much with this community group. We love each other, but like, we don't need to see each other, you know, 5 times a week or something like that. I don't know. Then we scale it back. And then if we find like, oh, I feel kind of disconnected from people, like, okay, well, let's scale it up. Like, it's not necessarily something where you're going to find a perfect rhythm, because if you do, it's going to last for like a couple weeks, and then like, somebody's going to have a baby, somebody's going to move, or like, it always changes. So anyways, any other questions, pushback before I?
Quick question.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know you just gave an example there, but in the end of the chapter, how it had the different calendars, different waffles or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have, and this could be open to anyone in the room, but
yeah,
does anyone have any good examples of a structure of a group you've been in where, you know, other than obviously the normal session, but stuff you've done outside of the session that's been repeatable, that's been effective? Because I struggle with
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to hear everybody's thoughts.
I can speak a little bit to, like, with our group, I guess, in the dynamic of our group is all relatively, like, young, some married, some single, no kids, so that obviously just makes people a little bit easier to plan things and go a little bit more spontaneous just with that. But I think, like, if someone has something going on, right, like, they're like, hey, I'm going to go to dinner. People are really honest and candid about, you know, being like, hey, let's invite and bring in as many people as we can. So I know probably at least, you know, once a week, okay, maybe like Thursday or Friday, we group text and it's like, hey, I'm gonna go to Mojo's, you know, would love to have a bunch of people tag along. So I guess the identity of our group is we're really good at ad hoc, like, hey, I'm going for a walk to Homestead, who wants to come? Right, or I'm planning to go Friday morning before work, you know, who wants to come with? So things like that, that's different for different groups that might not work as well when you've got, you know, kids and a more rigid schedule that's ours. And even adding things on, like North Hills does, like, the cover bands through the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So every time they've had one come in, like, hey, let's go to the group and do that, you know, and that's more planning and more in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's really just finding, being creative and like finding what works for your group to be able to, like, whether it's like stuff in the evening or stuff on the weekend and things like that. I think just like, yeah, like always throwing it out there, just like at least giving people the opportunity, like putting out more opportunities for things to happen. Like, I think it was kind of like talking about that too, just like kind of always putting it out there. The only other thing I thought about while reading it that I thought would be helpful to mm-hmm. share is, like, I think, like, part of it, too, that can impede growth is, like, when someone, like, new comes in, or even if they've been there for a while, I feel like, at least it was just for me, kind of, like, our group was, like, being nervous to, like, want to, like, say that you want things to change, or
mm-hmm.
bring up things, just because you don't want to make anyone feel bad, you don't want to, like, step on any toes, you don't know, like, if like this is the way things are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like one thing that I kind of take away, or just like other potential leaders to know, like kind of like letting people know, like be honest if like if this is working or if this is not working or things like that. Because I think our group could have gotten to a better place sooner, but I think it was just like a lot of new people at once, and nobody wanted to be the person that like stirred the pot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and leading that as a leader, I think, is really important. Like, whether that's you do social stuff and people haven't come the past couple times, and to be like, oh, hey, guys, you know, what would work? Like, what would work better for you as a leader? Just kind of go ahead and trying to diffuse it a little bit, you know, whether or not things are going greater or what. But I also think, like, side conversations with especially people in the group that you really trust, like, hey, do we feel like things are working? Is there anything we want to change? Do you have any good ideas that I haven't had yet? You know, that sort of thing can be helpful.
Yeah, and like you're talking about enabling other people.
Absolutely.
It's like, once we kind of finally hit that point, like, my wife is just like, is a planner. Like, she loves to plan, and like, she's just like, great. She can just handle a million things at once.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just say that just being a woman and it's being like, a man, like, I cannot multitask. But yeah, like, kind of once we got to that point, like, and like she felt comfortable, like she could, she wasn't stepping on any toes, like, and it's like the group kind of like loved that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was just, she was just more inclined to like handle that than some other people.
Yeah,
and it's been great. Like, she's like, yeah, people are just like, all right, awesome, great
yeah,
job. Keep it up.
Yeah,
because she loves doing that. So yeah, like creating opportunities for other people to do things. But for a while, we didn't know, like I said, like we didn't want to feel like we were taking over or like stepping on the leader's toes.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. There's a bunch in there that you just said. Things like, in terms of social stuff, you don't have to be the person to plan it. Somebody else in group can plan it. In terms of your wife using her skills and abilities to care for people, like, we don't, especially in like kind of the week-to-week discussions, we're kind of rarely going to come across a time to be like, hey, what are you good at, you know. So part of like your job as a leader is, as you get to know people and you're like, oh man, you're great at this, like, would you mind just helping us do that, is seeing people's skills, abilities, gifts, and then if something comes to mind for you, like, oh, there's a need in group, you'd be a great fit for that, would you want to do that? Or even it's just a, like, hey, I've seen you're really good at this. Do you want to use that somehow? Like, you come up with it. I don't know, but you can probably figure it out. So that sort of stuff, like, super helpful, especially, like, I'm not great at the fun side of community group. I'm good at, like, let's get everybody together, let's look at the scriptures, let's be serious. And I need the people who are, like, let's come up with fun stuff, let's be spontaneous. The Enneagram 7 in my community group, who's like life of the party, always down to do whatever, he is really helpful for anything spontaneous, anything like getting people together. And creating a culture where people include one another is really helpful. Oftentimes when I ask, like, oh, any pushback, usually somebody says, I don't have enough time for this. Especially reading the chapter, you're like, man, the whole, like, you're going to the service together on Sunday, you're together Wednesday night, you're having waffles on Saturday morning, like, I don't have time for all that. And one thing that I think can be really, really helpful is when we involve community in things that we don't have to add to the calendar. It's things that are already there. And so, like, yeah, if you're already gonna go to a cover band at North Hills, toss it in the, like, group text or group me, and if people want to jump in, great, that's awesome. Anything that you're already doing, whether it's like, you know, if you're going to be hanging out with the kids at a park most days, being able to invite, you know, if there's another mom in group or something like that, being able to, like, toss things out spontaneously. But then also, I think we can add a lot of intentionality into, like, there's community group leader at Vintage. This is pre-pandemic. She goes grocery shopping every week. And so she just started inviting a girl from group with her, different girls each time, to go grocery shopping with her. And while they were grocery shopping, she just asked, how's your life going? Like, let's, like, chat while we're doing something together. that sort of stuff. Like there was a couple that belonged to Vintage that used to live right down Hargett Street, and the husband, this guy named Colt, ministered to me like a hard time in my life. I had a number of tragedies happen. So kind and generous. One time he literally called me up and he said, "Hey Eric, I need to dig a hole in my backyard. Do you want to come dig a hole with me?" And so I did, because I loved our friendship and we talked about what was going on in my life. And his yard had terrible drainage, so we were digging a hole to help it drain. So like legitimately, I think that there are a lot of these just ingrained ways that we go about our life. And we simply, it doesn't even cross our mind to involve other people. That's how I am. My general operating strategy is to go through life alone. But if we kind of take a look at our schedule, the things that we regularly do, the things that like we could invite people into, man, the Lord can use that stuff. And I think leading group similarly, like in that culture, can be really helpful. And part of what I'm talking about there is also, I think it can be helpful to think through like community building, kind of what House is talking about throughout this chapter, in a couple different buckets. This might like overcomplicate it a little bit, but it's just, I don't know, it's just how I think through. Your formal group time is like Wednesday nights when you're doing Bible study. Then informal time is when you're not, when you're having fun or whatever. So this is Wednesday night, right? Nez day. When you've got everybody in the room in your formal time, right, this Wednesday night, there are things we're going to do that are informal. Everybody goes to the beach together. Everybody does. Like my group does a yearly CG Mountain Weekend. We go, we get a cabin, and pretty much everybody's there. And it's a blast. We're learning how to do that with kids now that our group's got a couple babies, but it's fun. So, you know, that could be when everybody's involved, it's something fun, right? But that's not the only things we can do together. There are some really helpful things that we can do with just some of our group. Sometimes we can feel a ton of pressure to when we're doing community building fun things. We want to pick a thing that everybody's going to like. We want to make sure that nobody feels left out, all that stuff. And like, yes, we want to make sure open invite, everybody can come. But it's okay if it's like, hey, we're going to play a nerdy board game. And I know y'all aren't into it, but y'all are. So let's do it and we'll do something else next time. You know, anything that I think increases the like livelihood, vitality of our community is helpful. And so you can do, you know, the spontaneous things that only some people come to. You can also, as a leader, try to kind of go around group and see if you can get meaningful time with individuals in group. Like, it doesn't have to be every week, but like, oh, I could get lunch with David this week. I could get lunch with Jeremy next week. And to cultivate, what is like a one-on-one relationship with people in your group look like? And to encourage your group to be doing the same. And so if everybody in group is trying to be intentional with individuals, that inevitably pours into your time together. And it can be really cool when, you know, Harrison and David are talking in group about like, yeah, we, you know, oh, it was really cool when you were telling me about what happened in your work life. Like, we know what's going on in each other's lives. It's really cool. And so you can do discipleship stuff. If, you know, three or four people in group are all like wrestling with the same thing, or they're all really interested, like everybody wants to read John Mark Comer's book, then part of group can read that together. It doesn't have to be the whole group. We don't have to organize everybody to do that. The, you know, four or five people are super into it. Y'all should read that book together. Go. And maybe Wednesday you tell us how good it was. And informal stuff, like whether that's spontaneous hangouts. A couple people in my group have a D&D campaign they're doing together. They're having a blast. It doesn't have to involve all of us. like more niche interests, that sort of things. And then one-on-one, like whether that is like one-on-one discipleship or one thing to consider here is like, how do we build into people's personal discipleship? Like when somebody is apart from us, how do we support them when they are reading the scriptures on their own? Like how do we support them in their walk when we aren't in the room, like talking through the scriptures and stuff? So some of that stuff, man, like praying for one another, encouraging one another, asking like, oh, you know, what have you read in the scriptures lately? Or how is time in the scriptures going? And if somebody's like, not great, like, okay, I got a couple of devotionals, like, you want to read one together? Or, you know, like, if we're actually interested in how people are doing in their own life, man, that could be really cool to show, like, what does this radical love look like? To where if you come to me and you're like, man, time in the scriptures right now is dry, like, man, I don't know if I can fix it, but I want to help you. I absolutely want to help you. And again, a lot of this stuff, I mean, has kind of immediate pushback of, I don't know if I have the time, I don't know if I have the attention to do that with everybody. You don't have to do it with everybody. I think what we're talking about primarily is, as a leader, leading a culture of people where we do that for one another, and we don't hit all the bases. Okay, it's not like we're always going to be crushing Wednesday group, discipleship together, we got a book study going, one-on-one for discipleship, blah, blah, blah. Like, not every group is going to do all of those things. Those are just all of the tools in our toolkit for trying to build this community. Okay, questions about all that? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So last question I had on there is, how do we do all this in a way that welcomes doubters, seekers, and followers?
I think you brought up a really good point about the sum, right? That it's really easy to invite someone to something they're interested in. So if I've got, you know, the sum is maybe going like disc golf or whatever it could be, and I know I have a friend that plays disc golf, not a believer, inviting him into that is a really just an easy ask. Like that's not, it doesn't take a lot of courage to ask someone to go do something they enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even being strategic about the things you plan, like, hey, let's plan something where I know I have some friends, people I know, maybe someone from work that's, I just don't know their spiritual walk, but they enjoy doing it. Maybe even switching the mentality to think about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think even in that example, like, let's say you got a coworker, you find out he's super into disc golf. Like, you can even reach out to a couple guys in group and be like, hey, I know y'all don't really play disc golf, but we're all going to go give it a shot because my loved one, who I've already told you about, is coming. Like, there's a sense to which we can also lean on our community and be able, like, to utilize them to create these sorts of spaces where we can welcome people.
I think it's also important, like, I think for a long time in my life, it was, like, a little bit embarrassed, like, my people youth group were, like, because it felt so, like, if they came and they didn't like it, it was, like, a rejection of me. You know,
yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, now I'm like that weird friend that invited them to. And I think now that I'm older, I'm like, if Jesus is that transformative in my own life, and if I really do believe that, like, he can change anything and everything, like, what do I have to lose? Like, I can invite my friends, and if they hate it, then that's okay. Like, it's not, I think that they, you know, I can think of a few friends, and we've had conversations about, you know, spiritual things, and I know that on certain topics, like, we have very different opinions, but we still love each other, and, like, we still make time for each other in our lives. And so if I invite, you know, my friend Katie and her boyfriend, like, what's the big deal? Like, if they like it, cool. If they don't, that's okay. Like, I can try again, and it's not like I don't have to take it as, like, a personal rejection. As long as I truly believe, like, you know, it's not about me or my feelings, but, like, what Jesus is capable of. And so, but again, that's like, a newer thing, because, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I would have felt a lot differently, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of times it can feel like we're, and this can be true when, like, a new person visits group, like, we're all trying to, like, be on our, you know, best behavior, and where it feels a little bit like a job interview, or whether or not people are going to like us. Like, it's like we're stuck in middle school. And I think one thing that can be helpful is I'm not inviting these people strictly to this friend group. Okay, this friend group's weird. And we're broken, and you can be a part of this friend group. But really what I'm inviting you to is this ideal where we are all headed. There's this vision for perfect community. We're not there yet, but man, we're really trying to get there. That's what we invite people to. And to think through, you know, a friend, like, yeah, this is what I believe, and Jesus is everything to me. And let me tell you, what he has to make within us is so good. I totally will invite anybody to that. We're weirdos, but I'll invite anybody to that. Part of the reason we really value time outside of formal Bible study is everything that you just said, Wes. Time in community group, the actual, like, Bible study part, is really intimidating to people who did not grow up in church. For everybody who grew up in church, people do Bible studies. It's what they do. They go to Sunday school. And even though, like, oh, well, we pop in, we talk to people we don't know, and then we leave. For people who have no experience in the church, that is super weird. And if you think about it, the living room space is incredibly intimate. For me, as somebody who, I don't necessarily know all of you, and I don't necessarily believe everything that you believe, for me to walk in the room and feel like I'm going to have 12 pairs of eyes staring at me, how am I ever going to say anything about what I actually believe, you know? So anything that we can do, whether that's frisbee golf, whether that's a cookout, anything that we can do to help people belong before they believe is incredibly important. That's something I think House talks about in his other chapter, maybe. Did he talk about it in this chapter? I don't remember. Belonging before you believe. Say what? No, belonging before you believe. That phrase, that's maybe another chapter. Anyways, neither here nor there. We all belong before we believe. Okay, whether that's you grew up in the church and you were a child who didn't believe you know, and then eventually you came to faith, or you were saved through some sort of relationship, anything like that. Like, the vast majority of us, we belong to a Christian community before we believe what they actually believe. And so anything that provides the, like, relational capital, helps us get to know one another when you have doubters and seekers coming to things that your group does, it's just so helpful to not just, like, make it easier for them to get into Bible study, but like, make it easier for them, their own experience, that it's not as intimidating of an environment. Because I think people can have a really authentic, winsome experience of what the Bible says in community group that they can't necessarily have on a Sunday morning. Okay, it's a very Southern Christian thing to, like, hey, you want to go to my church, even though you don't believe anything that we say there? Because generally speaking, a lot of people have experience with going to church. Like, when they go visit their grandmother at Easter, they go to church. And so, like, that can work for some people, but I think that there's something really to be said about being able to welcome people who don't believe in the community groups. One last thing that I wanted to add to this chart that I think is helpful, that I haven't talked about yet, is this sum. So even inside your, like, formal time, one thing that can be helpful in terms of building community is anything in group that can break people out. So whether that's, like, you've got guys and girls and we do prayer time, hey, how's your life going? Let's pray for one another. Some groups do like smaller groups within the group. There's, like, a discussion leader, and the, like, three or four people who are in that smaller group really know each other really well. There are a couple ways you can do that, but you can even do, like, subdivide the group inside Wednesday night, and that can still do that sort of, like, relational building. And especially, like, the easiest thing is the guys and girls prayer time. A lot of groups do that, super helpful. So just wanted to throw that out there. All right, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for bringing us into a new relationship with you when you save us, but also with one another, that we aren't trying to make something happen here, but you've already made us into a family, so we're just living according to it. So, Father, pray that you would help us as we belong to community groups, as we consider leading community groups. Would you teach us what it means to love people like you describe here in Romans 12? Would you teach us what it looks like for us to have our lives so centered and revolving around Jesus that when it comes to time, convenience, money, anything like that, man, we are so ready to be about what you are about, to love the people you love, to care for the things you care about. Father, would you help us work against our own assumptions about community, what we think people are supposed to do for us, all that stuff. Would you help us prioritize the kind of community that you're creating in us? So, thanks for time today. In your name we pray. Amen.